Welcome back to This Is Baseball. I'm Brandon Johnson. Today, this week marks a very special week for This Is Baseball for a few reasons. First reason is this week we are celebrating 1 year of This Is Baseball. This podcast is officially 1 year old this week. A year ago, I recorded my first episode going over the 2023 season, talking about opening day and how I thought teams would do in the 2023 season. I was spot on some and wrong on most of them, but it was the start of something that has been truly special and very, very fun. We've grown a lot in numbers and experience as the year has gone on, and we are now officially ready for year two of This Is Baseball. I'm excited for what's to come and what we're going to get into, what the future holds for this show. And thank you for being along for the ride with me. If you've been here the whole time, maybe you've only been here for a little bit, maybe this is your first episode with us. I appreciate every single one of you, and I hope you stick with us for the 2024 season as this begins. And before we move on from this point of This Is Baseball and celebrating 1 year of the show, if podcasting or something creative is something that you are wanting to do and you are on the fence about, my advice to you is to just jump and to just do it, because it has been an incredibly fun experience for me doing this throughout the year. So if it's something that you're like, I want to do that, do it. Now, opening day is here for 2024. I have kind of already done a projections episode of what I think each team is going to do, so I'm not fully going to spend 20 minutes doing that, but I will get into opening day. In opening day 2024 is the beginning of the season for all 30 teams. It's the only time in the year where all 30 of Major League Baseball's teams are on a level playing field. They're all 0-0, and it's anybody's ball game, if you will. Everybody has equal chance. Now, obviously, as we get further into the season, the good teams will rise to the top and the bad teams will take their places in the basement of their respective divisions and leagues. But for a little bit, it's a time where a fan of each of the 30 ball clubs can have a little bit of hope and maybe dream a little bit that this will be their favorite team's year. For teams like the Texas Rangers, it's the beginning of the defense of their World Series championship. For teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers, it is the beginning of a hopeful dynasty of over the next 10 to 15 years based off of all of the moves that they have made this offseason with Shohei Ohtani, who we will discuss a little bit later in the show, Yamamoto, who they signed from Japan, Tyler Glasnow traded and signed an extension from the Tampa Bay Rays, along with still having Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. Again, this is the beginning of the Dodgers' campaign to prove the naysayers wrong that they can't win in October. They can't get past the division round. That starts now. It's not quite World Series or bust for the Dodgers, but the clock is ticking. If you are the San Francisco Giants, it's about getting back to the playoffs. You were a division winner in 2021. You won 107 games and were able to overtake the Dodgers in the division, and you have pretty much gone back to hibernation since. So for the Giants, this is about maybe not winning the division, but getting back into the postseason, and with additions to the roster with players like Matt Chapman, who's going to be their third baseman, and most recently, Blake Snell, who just signed a two-year deal with the Giants to be at the top of their rotation. And if you're the Giants, that's a win for you. You can't go wrong signing the reigning Cy Young winner of the National League, and it's really going to be about, is he ready? But if you're the Giants, you should be pretty optimistic about your chances in 2024. For a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's last year wasn't a fluke. We were an 84-win team. We made it all the way to the World Series and ultimately fell to the Texas Rangers. But we believe that as a franchise, we are good enough to not only improve upon last season, but go and win the whole thing. Now, I don't think anybody outside of Arizona thinks that they're going to win the National League West, but they're going to be a contender out there. For a team like the Atlanta Braves, similar to the Dodgers, we are all very confident that not only the Braves and the Dodgers, but the Dodgers will also have a first-round bye. They will have the two best records in the National League, and they will again get to sit out that wild card round and await the winners of those series in their division rounds. Now, since the expansion of the playoffs, the Dodgers and the Braves have been unable to win a series. So for the Dodgers and Braves, this is about getting past that division series, not letting the rest that you get for being good enough to skip the wild card series be an excuse as to why you lost. This is a year where both the Dodgers and the Braves better be in the NLCS or there's going to be problems. If you're the St. Louis Cardinals, this season is about getting back to being on top of the NL Central. This is about not creating a pattern of losing after being a team that has been a perennial playoff contender for really the entirety of my life, a team that has a legitimate shot at winning a World Series each and every season. And I believe with everything that they've done this offseason, I think they've answered a lot of the questions both in their organization and answered questions that the fans have had. They brought in and kind of overhauled their pitching staff, which was their main problem in 2023. And I believe that they will win the NL Central. I think it's going to be an interesting race between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. And if you are the Chicago Cubs, this is also about getting back to the postseason. You were oh so close last year. You kind of choked in the last week of the season. You moved on from your manager, David Ross. You brought in the highly coveted Craig Counsell, who was the manager of the small market Brewers for many years, was able to take them to the playoffs many times on a limited budget, limited resources, won the NL Central. You paid him a lot of money, Craig Counsell, to come and be your manager. And you were hoping that he is the guy that can lead the Chicago Cubs into the postseason. Again, I still believe in the Cardinals, but I think the Cubs will at least make it interesting. And I think the Cubs and the Cardinals being good at the same time is very, very good for baseball. And I know I'm jumping around here a little bit, but for the Phillies, can they win the NL East this year? Do they feel like they even need to win the NL East? Because they've been a wild card team the last 2 years, In 2022, they went to the World Series and lost to the Astros. They beat the Braves in the division round. In 2023, same thing. Had to go through the wild card, beat the Astros yet again, who were on the World Series favorites last year. Ended up falling to the Diamondbacks in the National League Championship Series. So I think the Phillies this season, it's about finishing, you know, the unfinished business that they've kind of built up over the last two seasons and falling short in a World Series and falling short in the NLCS. So I think this is a season where the Phillies feel really good that they can win a World Series. Now, obviously, there can only be one. Jumping back over to the American League, we've already talked about the Texas Rangers, the defending world champions. Now, let's stay out west. The Houston Astros are a team that struggled last year out of the gate, had injuries, but ultimately were able to win the American League West and take advantage of a Seattle team that fell off at the very end and a Texas team that didn't take care of business the way that they should have on the final game of the year, allowing Houston to win their division. And for Houston, they go to World Series. They compete and go as far as they possibly can. They obviously lost in the ALCS last year. It is a pattern for the Houston Astros to be in that championship series, and I expect them to be back, and they're going to look to win another World Series. For the Angels, this is a year where it's their first season of life without Shohei Ohtani. What kind of ball club can they be without him? Well, they couldn't go to the playoffs or be a winning ball club with him there. I don't expect them to be very good this season without him. Mike Trout is obviously still there. I love him, great player, but going to be a long year for the Angels. The Oakland A's are about to embark on probably the most awkward season in their franchise's existence as they look to begin what is most likely their final year in Oakland. You know what happened last year with the completely terrible team that was fielded. The unbelievably bad attendance, the reverse boycott that happened in June, the A's potentially moving to Las Vegas. I talked a little bit about that last week, so if you missed it, go back and check out that episode. The Seattle Mariners, you're a team that is just trying to keep up with Houston and Texas, and I think that you're not going to be able to. I think, again, Seattle is going to be a fun team to watch at various points throughout the season, but ultimately I think they're going to be at home. So for them, it's about getting back to the playoffs again. And I'm going to jump across to the American League East and close this section of the podcast on the AL Central. So the American League East, the New York Yankees are projected to win the East. And I think that's just kind of the Yankee glasses that people have on, or they just expect the Yankees to be good. The Yankees missed the playoffs last year, and for them, this is about getting back to the East and being, you know, respected again. They brought in Marcus Stroman. They traded for Juan Soto. Gerrit Cole is injured and is going to miss a little bit of time. But more interestingly in this division is Baltimore. Baltimore, I think people still don't quite take them seriously. In 2022, they were kind of a surprise team, had a winning season. Like, oh, Baltimore might be good. And they followed that up with a 100-plus win season, won the American League East. And I really have every reason to believe that they can do it again. So for Baltimore, it's repeat as AL East champions and actually go on a run in the postseason. Tampa Bay, going to be a little bit of a weaker team, lost pitching, but still going to be incredibly solid. This is like the American League East is still probably the best division in baseball. I think four teams are going to have a real shot at being part of the postseason with Toronto, Tampa Bay, Baltimore. And Toronto is interesting because they're kind of that like long lost, you know, forgotten cousin or whatever. Like they're there, but nobody really pays attention to them. And I think for Toronto, it's this season's about making people pay attention, I think. But let's jump over to that American League Central because this is where the Kansas City Royals play. This is my team. I will be attending opening day on Thursday. And the Minnesota Twins are projected to win this division. But I don't necessarily feel like they will. I would be willing to say that Cleveland, Detroit, or Kansas City are going to win this division over Minnesota. I think the Central is the weakest division. Minnesota lost some pitching. Kansas City, honestly, out of the teams in the Central, did the most this offseason as far as free agency and extensions are concerned. And I honestly think, you know, when we get down the stretch, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not going to set it in stone, but I'm not going to be surprised if we're talking about Kansas City and Detroit sitting at 1-2 in this division. Just because I think, I don't know if that's because I believe in Kansas City and Detroit to do it, or if it's because I just don't believe in Minnesota to win this division. Because the last couple years they've won it, and maybe I'm just disrespecting them because they're obviously a good team, but I don't see it, and maybe it's the Royals fandom in me kind of clouding my judgment of this division. But the Royals adding Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, Will Smith, and I know that those aren't top of the line free agents, you know, they're not Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery type players, but they improve a pitching staff that was really, really bad. I feel very confident about Cole Reagans, who's going to be the opening day starter, that he's going to be one of the top 10 pitchers in the league this year and pick up where he left off. I'm expecting Brady Singer to have a better year than he did last year. He seems to be kind of an every other year pitcher, and this is that other year where he can hopefully shine and be a good piece in that Royals rotation. Obviously, they extended Bobby Witt Jr. Vinny Pasquantino is coming back. They still have Salvador Perez, MJ Melendez. There's a lineup that just feels like they are, you know, an offense that is ready to be competitive and give the Central a run for its money. So I think if you're just a baseball fan as a whole, maybe you don't have a team, but I think the American League Central is honestly the most intriguing division this year. Again, like it's weaker, but I feel like it's the most wide open and has the biggest potential for surprises when it comes to who's actually going to win it. All right, let's transition away from that, and let's get into Shohei Ohtani. I'm sure most of you already know, but last week, the Los Angeles Dodgers fired Shohei Ohtani's translator, Ippei Mizuhara, alleging massive theft. So I'm going to read a little bit of an article from ESPN. This is written by Tisha Thompson. So the Los Angeles Dodgers interpreter for Shohei Ohtani was fired Wednesday afternoon after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation set off a series of events. So initially, a spokesman for Ohtani told ESPN that he had transferred the funds to cover Mizuhara's gambling debt. The spokesman presented Mizuhara to ESPN for a 90-minute interview Tuesday night, during which Mizuhara had laid out his account in great detail. However, as ESPN prepared to publish the story, the spokesman disavowed Mizuhara's account and said Ohtani's lawyers would issue a statement. So, Ohtani's representation: in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to the authorities. So a little bit further, the developments this week came as federal investigators are examining the operation run by Southern California bookmaker Matthew Boyer. The wire transfer payments were sent from Ohtani's account to an associate of Boyer's. According to multiple sources and bank data reviewed by ESPN, multiple sources, including Mizuhara, told ESPN that Ohtani does not gamble and that the funds covered Mizuhara's losses. ESPN reviewed bank information showing Ohtani's name on two $500,000 payments sent in September and October. While sports betting is legal in nearly 40 states, it remains illegal in California. Government-regulated sports books require bettors to pay upfront for their wagers, while illegal bookmakers accept bets on credit. Further on, sources close to the gambling operation told ESPN that Boyer dealt directly with Mizuhara, who placed bets on international soccer matches and other sports, but not baseball, starting in 2021. A source said Boyer was aware of the name on the wire transfers, but chose not to ask any questions as long as payments came in. However, the source said Boyer allowed people to believe Ohtani was a client in order to boost his business. Now, Mizuhara says twice that, later on in this article, that he did not bet on baseball. That he knew that rule and he didn't bet on baseball. Now, this is being investigated by Major League Baseball and the IRS. So this is a pretty big deal. It's being looked into. And this Monday, last Monday, Ohtani finally was going to address the media. Now, I thought it was going to be a Q&A, but a couple hours before the press conference, it was revealed that Ohtani is only going to release a statement and he will take no questions from the media. And if there was ever a situation where this could have been an email applied, it is this situation, because basically it was a seemingly well written and orchestrated statement that came from Ohtani's lawyers, basically saying, I never bet on baseball or any other sport or ask anybody to do it on my behalf. He denied going through a bookmaker to bet on sports. And he said he's very sad and shocked that someone who he trusts has done this to him. And it's really hard for him to verbalize how he's feeling at this point. And he's letting his lawyers handle the investigations moving forward and looking towards the start of a baseball season. And that's exactly what he should do. And that's exactly what you should do. Because it's easy to jump to conclusions of what might be going on in a situation like this, but right now, we don't know anything. All we know is that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ippei, is being accused of stealing money from Ohtani's bank account, and that's that. MLB, again, is doing an investigation. The IRS is looking into this. So until we know more, which we will know more will come out. And as that information comes out, I will have it here, other people will have it, and we will work through it and talk through it together. Now, I want to close the show on this, and this is Kansas City related. It's Jackson County related. If you are local to this area of KC, you're a Chiefs fan, a Royals fan, or maybe you're just interested in this in general, this is for you. So on Tuesday, April 2nd, we have an election coming up. And question one is a simple yes or no question. And it is vote yes or no to agree to continue the 3/8 cent sales tax that goes to both the Royals and the Chiefs for another 40 years. So this is to extend a sales tax that we have already been paying for an additional 40 years. This is not a new tax. This is a tax that already exists that the Chiefs and Royals are just asking for an extension to. And I say that, I want to emphasize that because there's been a lot of information about what this is, what you're voting for, and it's important to get it right. So this is an extension of a sales tax that already exists that would support the renovations for the Kansas City Chiefs and the new ballpark in downtown Kansas City for the Royals. And now let's talk about this because it's a simple yes or no. Yes, to keep the Royals and Chiefs in Jackson County, and no to we'll risk losing you, we'll risk you coming up with a new plan that we like better, we'll risk you coming up with the funding yourself, and then you can do whatever you want, wherever you want. But let's talk about yes. What happens if yes? If yes, the Chiefs move forward with the renovations that they proposed a couple of weeks ago. For the Royals, they will move forward with their brand new ballpark in the Crossroads District. And will likely break ground, if not this year, early next year, with a plan to have that ballpark open by 2028's opening day. Now, let's talk about if you vote no. And everything I'm going to say is with no intention to strike fear, but just to help you understand what could happen, but probably won't. So let's do the Chiefs first. If you vote no, okay, maybe the Chiefs. Well, first off, if we vote no, the Chiefs and Royals are going to go back to the drawing board and we're not going to hear from them for a while because they're going to come up with a new plan to present. Now, the Chiefs could be as simple as, all right, we will just stick with what we have at Arrowhead. It's pretty good. Or, you know, figure out a way to do those renovations another way. Or worst case scenario, honestly, is they move across state line, go to Kansas, they play in the Legends where Sporting Kansas City play at Children's Mercy Park, Kansas Speedway, the Legends Outlet. They go there, they build a state-of-the-art dome where Kansas says, hey, you build a state-of-the-art dome, we can host the biggest events in the world, host Super Bowls, Final Fours, whatever you could think of, we could host it with this new stadium. And they'll probably pitch the fact that sports gambling is legal, and that's just another revenue generator for the Chiefs to latch onto because sports gambling is not legal in Missouri. Now, I don't think that the Chiefs are considering relocation outside of like going, like I said, to Kansas, and that's going to be not very far away. But you look at the Royals and it gets a little bit muddier because the Royals have made it very clear multiple times that they have no intention of playing at Kauffman Stadium beyond the 2031 lease, which is 7 years from now. So it seems far away, but it's really not. So for the Royals, same situation. Maybe they figure out a way to fund the ballpark privately and they put it in the Crossroads anyway and don't ask for the public's help. Maybe they refocus on the East Village, which was one of the initial spots that the Royals pitched when this first started really getting momentum. Maybe they look there again. Or maybe the Clay County Stadium comes back and the Royals say, you know what? We've exhausted our efforts in Jackson County. We're going to look elsewhere. We've already had conversations with Clay County about a potential spot in North Kansas City, and we're going to open up that door once again. We've already seen renderings of what that might look like. So I think the Royals could start there. I think the same way that Kansas would open the door to the Chiefs potentially jumping across the state line, I would imagine that Kansas would consider the idea of welcoming the Royals to Kansas and say, hey, sorry they didn't support you, but we will. Let's talk about it. Or, worst case scenario, and unlikely scenario, before I say all of this, is you have other municipalities jump in. You have a city like Nashville that says, hey, Royals, we understand that your city was not wanting to support your new stadium downtown. Well, we are an up-and-coming city. We've grown a lot. We feel like we can support a Major League Baseball team, and we think that your team is perfect for our city. What do you say? And you're going to have cities like Charlotte, Nashville, Portland, Salt Lake City, and maybe others that would pitch that idea. Again, that is unlikely, I think. The Royals have been pretty clear that they want to be here in Kansas City and in Jackson County. So, but I do know that if your reasoning for voting no is simply that you want them to stay at Kauffman Stadium, the Royals have made it clear that that is not something that they are entertaining. So, go vote on Tuesday. Question one, it's a simple yes or no. That's all I have for you this week. Hopefully your team has a great opening to the season. We will discuss everything that happened in opening day and opening week next week. We will go over the results of this 3/8 cents sales tax vote on next week's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.